Hello and welcome to a special late night edition of the DeviantArt podcast. My name is Matt Buchholz. You may know me as GG Matt B. And tonight we've got with us a very special guest. We've got the one and only Art Germ. Welcome.
Hey, hello everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining us.
So today we've got you on because we are doing an amazing project with 3D Sense. And you are one of our judges on there. And
that's right.
It's called the Artist Avatar Challenge. But before we get into all of that and all the amazing stuff that Wacom is providing for that, let's talk about your origin, because I love origin stories. I think that there's something really fun in that. My favorite games all are origin stories, my favorite movies. So let's hear about how you got started and how you got to where you are now.
Okay. Well, I was born in Hong Kong. So I grew up in an Asian environment. Since young, I was exposed to anime, or more Japanese kind of content, Hong Kong comics and stuff. And because of that, I happen to have parents who really enjoy drawing as a hobby. So since young, they gave me a lot of art materials, coloring books for me to play with. So I've cultivated the love for art in the earlier part of my life. And since young, I always wanted to be an artist. Although I have no idea how to be an artist, because art, especially in Asia, is not something that your parents will look forward to for your children to become an artist. They find that something just for fun. So I continue to draw. I don't have a lot of other hobbies besides stay at home and draw all weekends. I mean, whenever I find time to do it, I would just draw. There wasn't even internet back then. There was no social media. My only social media are my parents and my siblings. So I just continue to draw, look at anime, manga that inspired me. And when I reached about the age of 17, 18, I really wanted to be an artist professionally as a career. So I still don't know how to do that. But then I moved from Hong Kong to Singapore, where I'm exposed to more Western content, superheroes and stuff. So I decided to take on a program and a school that allowed me to push forward my dream. But there wasn't any art school, not those art that I like. There's no school teaching how to draw anime. So I decided to join a graphic design school. So I learned how to do graphic design. Hopefully that will be something related for me to eventually become an artist. Then I set up my own design studio, and I keep on drawing. And one day I decided to just drop that and open another one, which is it's called Imaginary Friends, which is an art studio that we provide artworks for the entertainment industry, from comics to games to even movie concepts. So, and we've been doing that for many years, and I'm still running it now. So that's how I start to get into the so-called entertainment art industry.
That's amazing. I love that you found that time where you were doing the design stuff and you just kind of figured, like, this isn't what I wanted. Mm-hmm. You pivoted to make it your own. So what kind of helped you make that decision? Because that's a pretty massive choice to stop doing something and pivot like that.
It's true. So I remember one day, one of my friends who was my intern and become my studio partner, his name is Kai, he asked me if I'm interested to join DeviantArt. And I said, what is DeviantArt? So he explained to me what DeviantArt is. And back then, it was the only art community I can ever find. So he actually helped me set up an account and said, hey, you should just post something there. So I over the night, I posted about 20 pieces of my pepper artworks, which mm-hmm. is something that I did for fun. And people start to like it, and people start to follow me. And it motivated me to continue to create artworks for the community.
Mm. Yeah, I think that there's something so cool about, like, art communities. I definitely want to get into that as we continue to talk, because yes, you are such a huge part of many people finding art communities and discovering their own art. So I think that that's really special. Let's talk a little bit about your Pepper project, because that's an original character that you made that kind of created an entire art movement in a way, back before there were trending topics and back before any of the social media things. There was the Pepper Project. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Pepper Project was created as a way for me to get out of the the monotony of my business. I mean, when I was working or when I was running a design studio, all I could do was to design logos, making advertising campaign and design brochures and stuff. Those are corporate stuff, which is not really fun for me. So I wanted to create something that inspired me on a daily basis or on a regular basis, continue to draw. So I want to create something that I love to draw. So I created Pepper. And why Pepper? Because back then my studio was name was called Paprika, which is the chili powder. So I want to create a female character, obviously, for my reason, and who is slightly hot, like not very hot. So I think Pepper is mildly hot. So that's why I name her Pepper. And I try to use that as a way for me to venture into different art style. So it becomes some kind of a channel for me to test out different style and use different style to map onto this character. The whole idea was to, when people always talk about you should step out of your comfort zone, but the idea of stepping out of your comfort zone is weird because you always perform the best within your comfort zone. So the idea of stepping out of your comfort zone is to expand it, not to leave it. So you expand your comfort zone so you'll be comfortable with some all kind of stuff. So Pepper Project was created at first with that goal in mind. It was to expand my style so that I'm comfortable drawing, like, for example, chibi stuff, to something more cartoony, to something more realistic, to something more stylistic. So that was my goal for Pepper Project. So I did that for no other reason. There was no backstory for Pepper. And to be honest, I didn't even know how she looked like, because she looked very different from every piece of her work. So so I continued to post it on DeviantArt, and people start to like it, and they start to draw fan art of her. And to the point that there's so many people drawing fan art of her, I decided to just run a contest, which is called the Pepper Project Contest, to invite artists on DeviantArt to take part and draw their own version of Pepper. So within a month, I got about 1,300 entries. And then I selected 100 of them and published my Pepper art book.
Which is crazy. Like, back in that time, like, people now have Instagram and everything, and they don't understand, like, how small the art community was around that time. And, like, to get over 1,000 submissions is wonderful.
In a month.
Yeah, in a month. And so that's really incredible.
Yes, so, I would say that was the original joy in your style thing, which people are doing it now.
Yeah, definitely. I see Heidi down in the chat saying you definitely know it when people are making fan art of your work. So now we're running a program, the Artist Avatar Challenge. And for that, the challenge is to create an artvatar, an artistic alter ego that uses unconventional tools for their masterpiece. And that's the thing that you're working on right now. So for that, like, tell us a little bit about what went into the idea of making the challenge around this artvatar sort of character.
Yeah, so we sit down with my team from school, Three Cents, to think of a topic that is open enough for artists to take part, but interesting enough so that it's not too loose in terms of the guidelines. So we thought about this idea of creating your own alter ego, you know, your avatar. Think of it like, you know, the persona, and then you have the avatar for persona for every character. So think of it that way. Like, how would you present yourself as a character in the art world? It doesn't have to even look like you. You just have to, for example, I will create my own Pepper, which looks nothing like me. But it somehow represents the alter ego, something that I aspire to be, which is a lively, active, agile, and can go into different dimensions and become different style. So that was my original idea for Pepper. So I'm looking forward to having artists to do the similar things, to create their own version of their art persona, so to speak.
Yeah, which is really neat. Like, I've seen some entries already coming in, and I can't say, because I work for DeviantArt, I can't say which ones I'm liking already, but some are amazing already.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it's really fun to see them do that and, like, push that creativity. And one of the things I like about this sort of prompt challenge is, personally, I feel that this is a real great learning tool for people. When you get a prompt like this, it's very similar to when you get a description from a client. and you have to create something around their drawing, and you have these different marks you have to hit. So I think
the fun thing about having contests like this, it really brings the community together. So it's like all of us are trying to do something together and at the same time present a very different side of how we interpret the topics. I think that's really fun.
Yeah. So what sort of things, when you create a character based off of a prompt, do you start with? Like when you're given...
I would usually sit down and of course look at the design brief and what's the requirement. And then, for example, for this particular contest, I would think about... what are the attributes I would like to see in this avatar? Don't even think about the visual part first. Just write down some of the key points of, I want it to be this and that, have wings and can spray colors over the universe, whatever. So you can think of it that way. So write down the attribute, like how you design a person, describe the person. And then with that, then your brain will start working and then you will start to have some idea in your head. And you try to explore different options. Don't try to zoom into one too soon, but explore different options. You may need to sit on it for a day or two just to let it sink in, digest, and see if this still work for you. That's usually how I work. I don't try to jump into the idea too soon. I will let my brain do the working. And if after 2-3 days, I still like the idea, then I think it's good enough for me to develop it further.
That's really cool. Like I don't know if I've ever heard someone say that like they take that long to just like really mull it over and get that right concept. So many people are just like, I'm going to bust out 50 thumbnails and then I'm picking one. So I like that. I like that mentality of like really trying to find what resonates and something that you will continue to enjoy.
That's right.
And that's a thing that you've talked about in the past too, is like really being a fan of the work you create. And enjoying what you make art around, because
I strongly believe in that, because you know people always ask me how to be a better artist, how to improve your art. I mean, my short answer to them is always having fun with it. When you have fun, some people will say that you need discipline, you need a routine to improve, but to me, if you're having fun, those things will come naturally. I mean, we all play games. Most of you guys play games. And none of you need discipline to play games. You need discipline not to play too much game, right? But you don't need discipline to play games because it's so fun. And it's so fun, you'll try to find ways to solve the problem, clear the stage, fight the final boss, because you are enjoying it, no matter how tough the game is. So if you can think of art in this way, then you'll naturally find resources to solve your problem because you're having fun with it.
That's a really great way to put it. What have some, to continue that metaphor, what are some final bosses that you've faced in your art, like when creating a piece?
In general, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I came from an era with the internet. So there wasn't any online resources like a video tutorial that I can watch and learn. And there wasn't even books on all those entertainment stuff. Could find in library was those like classic artists, like Angel Loomis, when we want to learn about anatomy. So that's all I have. And then I have all the stack of mangas in front of me for me to just replicate. So I took a long path to find out what works, what doesn't work, how to bridge the anime style into realism, and how to learn the fundamentals. So that was a really, really... challenging period. But at the same time, I really appreciate those mistakes that I make, because the more mistakes I make, I know that I have fewer mistakes to make in the future. So although it's a longer path for me, but I found that my foundation will become much stronger because of that. It means I don't have people like hand out knowledge to me. I just need to discover them myself.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Like you said, finding those mistakes and kind of embracing them and not worrying about them, because that's something that you've learned then. And when you create art, I think so many people start and just think like, I don't know how to even begin because I'm going to do something wrong.
Sure. That's a very interesting phenomenon that I observe even with my students and the current generation, is that they are so fearful of making mistakes, especially with social media and the social media pressure that everyone must show off that stuff. If you are not good enough, you are not supposed to post on social media. I think that's silly because I would enjoy people's journey a lot more. It means I would like to see how you get good rather than how good you are. Mm-hmm. So I like to see how artists struggle, make mistakes, correct it, improve from what they've learned, and then become a better artist. I think that is a more inspiring approach. And that's what I usually do, especially in the earlier days of DeviantArt. I had no social media pressure. I don't need to get enough likes. I just want to draw. And if there's like I need, it's for myself. That's the only like I care. So if I like it, that's it. And that motivates me a lot because I understand that everything that we learn in life, you need to make mistakes with it. There's no other way around, is it? I mean, I always use this analogy with my students. For those of you who don't know how to ride a bicycle, I can teach you how to ride a bicycle. I can show you the mechanic of the bicycle. I can show you the physics of the bicycle. I can even demonstrate to you how to ride a bicycle. But that doesn't mean that you can hop on it and start riding it like a pro. You can't. Sometimes some things just need to take time. And I think art is the same thing. So don't think of mistake as something negative. Mistake is just something that for you to improve. And the more mistakes that you make in the earlier stage of your journey, the fewer you'll make in the future.
I like that a lot. That's really a cool way of thinking about it. And I think you're right that there's kind of this mentality around art that either you can do art or you can't. And that's something right at the beginning. You're either an artist or you're not. And it's really kind of an odd point of view on art because there's so much that you can learn just by experiencing it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, I do understand there's a certain so-called talent in play when it comes to different kinds of skills, for example, from music to cooking to drawing. But I also think that people use the word talent too casually. And, oh, you're so gifted. You're born as an artist. And they use such work to brush things off without actually looking at the hard work that we actually put in to make things work. I always tell them that if you think I'm talented, I think I am. But the only talent I have in art is that after 30 years of training every day, I still choose not to give up. To me, that is my talent. Yeah,
that's really cool. I think it's so true though too. Like we've talked about philosophy before on art, and it's that like drive to continually be an artist. Like being an artist is not an easy thing, and so to continue to want to do that and to love doing that is such a huge thing for anyone who's an artist.
That's right. If you can learn anything so easily within a day or two, there's no value in that. The value comes when you really put in your hard work and then it shows. And that to me, that has value.
That's true. So I'm seeing a lot of people putting questions in the chat and know that we are doing a Q&A at the end, but you can put your questions there now. We have a producer grabbing all those questions, putting them in a document so I can ask them later. So do ask your questions down there. We appreciate it. Thank you for watching, everyone. And let's move on to talking a little bit, just a slight pivot towards art education, because I know this is something that you're really passionate about. So what do you feel people need to do to educate themselves in art?
Mm-hmm. I don't usually see myself as a teacher. I mean, even in front of my students, they don't call me teacher. They just call me a gem. I want to act more like a peer, maybe a mentor who had walked through the path earlier than them and share my journey with them. So in my art education, I don't just focus on the craft. I don't just teach them how to draw. I want to teach my student how to be an artist as a person. That means how you live your life as an artist, how you face your social media, critics, comments on social media. All this come into play, like how to present yourself as an artist, not just your artworks to the world. I think that to me is very important. Of course, I do understand that students nowadays, they are not as patient. They have very short attention span. So my goal is to fit into their world. So I try to draw things that they like. Oh, nowadays, almost all of my students like to play Genshin Impact. So I said, okay, let me draw some Genshin Impact stuff for you while teaching you some fundamentals. I think that become more exciting for them to learn. And I feel that I'm more related to their life. Yeah. Even nowadays, you need to gain their trust. You need to show them that you are part of them. You are not from the old generations. in order for them to listen to you. So that's what I usually do.
I like that you sneak in the learning, almost like, you know, a vitamin with some, you know, candy. It's like, yes. Here's some Genshin Impact. You're going to draw Paimon, but you're also going to learn how to draw fabric folds.
Yes, that's right.
But that's a clever way to look at it, is find something that you enjoy and find a challenge within that to continue to push yourself.
Yeah. So basically the way we operate the school, or at least in my program, is that within this 1 year, I'm trying to giving you, as school, try to give you as much information as possible. But students come in with different level. Some of them are really, really beginner. Some of them are more advanced. But what I do is that I provide everything for you, which some of the knowledge you may not be able to make use of because you're not at that level yet. So you're not at that level to use that particular weapon that I gave you, right? So, but one day you will, and then you will start to understand why I give you those weapons. So it's like a rock climbing. You there's a rock wall that you're going to climb. There are many handles on the wall. I give you all the handles that's needed to climb to the, well, certain level. And then as you climb, no matter which level you're at, once you reach a certain level, you see the handle for you to grab. That is the idea that we have.
That's really cool. I like that a lot. Yes. So one of the things that you just mentioned was not just about the art on the page or on the tablet or whatever, but also like how you carry yourself and present yourself as an artist. So what are some things there that like people watching might be able to take away from that?
Yeah, you see, nowadays, everyone has a voice, whether they are artists or not. Whenever you post something on social media, some people will like it, some people will hate it, some people will, for whatever reason, they want to. And some of my students, they get really upset when they receive the negative feedbacks and stuff, or not enough people like their works. And I told them very honestly and candid way, I say, you don't even like everybody, right? Why do you expect everybody to like you or your work? I mean, it doesn't work that way. There will bound to be people who don't like what you're doing. That's fine. Focus on those people who believe in you and want to support you. That is how you should grow your audience. People who can talk anything, talk trash about your work, let them be, because that's always be in these situations. So spend your time, quality time, on people that matters to you. Yeah. That's why I always advise them.
I think that's really smart, because there will always be trolls. And even if they're not trolls, there will always be people who have a different taste. And it's perfectly fine to be whatever vein of art you want to be within, as long as you're happy with it and you're presenting that authentic art.
That's right. But the funny thing is, because of the nature of social media, I mean, let's make a scenario. You don't like all kind of food. There's some restaurant you don't like, some restaurant you like. So you choose your food, right? But how often do you actually walk in the restaurant that you hate and tell them you hate them? You don't. Yeah. You don't do that in real life. But on social media, people like to do that. I'm going to go up to your page and show you and tell you that I don't like you. It's a very weird world we are living in now.
It's very odd. Yeah. I like that we're seeing kind of a time right now where I've seen a lot more positivity in art online, though. And that's kind of fun seeing, because I feel like maybe the past 5 years have been fairly rough for all social media, no matter what you do. And recently I've seen more and more people like kind of coming together and being like, we want this to be a place where people can learn and feel comfortable and create and really support it, which is a cool thing to see happening again. A little bit of faith back in art.
I really enjoy our community. Since DeviantArt time, to me, I always tell my friends or my students that I believe art as a community, not as competitions. It's like you are playing is it competitive? Yes, it's a competitive world. But at the same time, think of it as a like a bowling alley. You're in a bowling contest. Your job is to make sure that every ball that you throw out, you get a strike. Your job is not to throw the ball at each other. So it's a competitive environment. We all are striving for excellence, the best version of ourselves. So that, to me, is important. So we come in as a community to help each other to reach their own goal. That is my belief.
That's really good. So going back to more education stuff, what do you feel is most important when someone's like trying to get started as an artist, like when they're making those initial steps and you have to give them all the handholds? Which are the ones that you think are most important for them to grab onto first?
Foundations. I think foundation is everything in art, in all kind of skill set. Foundation is all that you need. At least from the beginning, you need something solid to build on top, to build a building on top. So foundation in art, such as anatomy, color and light, perspective, compositions, aesthetics. Those are the basic ingredients to make good art. And that's also some of the very dry topics. You know, if I ask you to draw bones and skulls and muscles every day, it's boring. And many young artists, they choose not to invest their time in those things because that's not exciting, not trending. That means when you post it on social media, it's not cool enough to trend. So they may not invest time in those. So when some of my students ask me those questions, like, then how to make it more interesting? I say, that's very easy. You want to learn muscle, find a muscular character that you like, a game character or whoever, like Hades, the game Hades. That's a muscular dude. So use that as a way to learn anatomy. That means you learn real anatomy, but map a face of him on your body. And then you post it, then you have fun drawing that. It's always fun. It's always try to find a more fun way to learn. I think that is my goal.
That's a good way to do it. So one thing that people will always say is, how do I find my style? Which is such a loaded question. What is your philosophy on art style?
Art style, again, I like to eat. Asians like to eat. So we always like to use the food as energy. So finding an art style is like cooking. Now, firstly, you can never find a style by just purely meditating at home. Nor you can find an art style that you have never seen before. Like, oh, now I want to find a style that no one has ever seen before. That's not even possible. We all can only draw things that we have seen and integrate it and try to mix and match it. So think of it as a cooking. If you want to cook a dish, you don't just look at the ingredient and just ponder and meditate and try to find a way to cook it. No, you don't. You find recipe. And those recipes are not something that you created. It belongs to somebody. So you find recipe online, you try out, you test it, you like it, you don't like it. Then you find another recipe of the same dish and try again. And, oh, I like this one better because of this, but I like the first one better because of that. And then you mix that together and you test it again. And you keep doing that. Then eventually you found your own recipe in art. That's what we are doing. So you always need to find someone to inspire you or a group of people that inspires you and learn, not learn to draw like them, but learn the methodology and then the philosophy behind their art. And then try to learn so-called their recipe. So you hop from one recipe to another, eventually you found your own.
So once you've found that recipe that you like, how do you recommend that people continue to innovate and grow off of that and avoid from like just sitting in one space?
The thing is that our art is very closely related to our life and the influence in our life. So you don't expect yourself to stay with that particular recipe. Some people do, but many people don't. They continue to evolve because your taste changes. Food that you like to eat when you're young, you may not like to eat now, and vice versa. So you will find new taste, new recipe, new dish you want to cook, and then you allow your art to evolve. I think that's very important. In my younger days, I like to draw more anime stuff. When I got younger, I like to draw something slightly more realistic. But many young artists, they find fearful to change their art style because they think that if I do so, I'll lose my audience. People may go. Then I will advise you that so be it. Let them go. Because new people will come in because of your new style. And those people who truly believe in you and has a good relationship with you and want to support you as an artist, they will stick around. I think that's very important. Do not create something just because your audience like it. You want to allow your style to evolve because you are the most important. The reason why in the past, your fans choose to, or people choose to follow you because you've been doing what you like and they follow you. And you should not change that just because you have more followers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's so true. It's that authenticity and that fun that you talked about earlier. It's like you have to be doing something you enjoy, and your followers are probably following you because you're doing something you love so much.
Exactly.
Like you can feel that in art when you see it. You can see that fun. You can feel that coming through all the pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, like, I think that no matter how much fun people have, there's eventually a time where I think every artist faces burnout or mm-hmm. some sort of like stress in that sense. So how do you recommend for people to avoid that?
Mm-hmm. That's natural. We are human beings. So we have ups and downs. We have emotional stage that we don't feel like drawing and stuff. And of course, you may encounter art block, burnout. If we talk about art block means you are stuck, you don't know what to draw. Usually it comes in two forms. The first one is that you can draw, but you just know what to draw. The second one is that you want to draw something, you have the idea in mind, you just cannot draw it. So there's two kinds. So the first one is that you run out of ideas, you don't have ideas. And that is very common. If you're the kind of artist who will start thinking about what to draw, when you are in front of the computer or in front of your sketchbook, many times you won't have idea to draw. So it's important for you to consolidate and collect your ideas on a regular basis, even those times that you don't actually draw. Bring along a sketchbook, put it in your bag, and then anytime your idea that come to your mind, write it down, do a little doodle, a thumbnail, and just keep it there. So in the future, when you have time, you want to draw something, this becomes your idea book for you to think about. But that's for the first problem. The second one is that you have idea what to draw, but you just cannot draw it. And that is because many times it's because of fundamentals. You look at so many beautiful artworks online on a daily basis. Sometimes you have this crazy idea that I can do the same. You know, I can do the next splash art like what Riot Game can do. Oh, and then you start drawing it and then you fail. It's all because of the lack of fundamentals and the lack of training in your work. So sometimes you set your goal too high for yourself to achieve and then you fail. So in that case, scale it down, go simpler, do something simple. I would rather, I've been saying the same to my student. I don't need you to draw me an epic works. I just want to draw something small, but draw it well. Because I'm more focused on you learning something from it rather than you set your bar too high and then you fail.
Mm-hmm. I love that you kind of keep returning to this idea of the artist journey and
yes.
finding the right steps along the way for the people. So, you know, whether it's being at your fundamentals or starting to bring in more advanced techniques, there are all these different places where artists might find themselves along their journey, even at a level where they're very successful artists and still finding ways to push themselves to maintain mm-hmm. that joy. So mm-hmm. How would you recommend people kind of identify where they're at in that journey?
I think it's very important to evaluate your artworks at every point of in different checkpoints of your life or in a regular basis. Don't just go with the flow. When you did something right, don't just let it be, oh, I'm just lucky today, or I'm just in the flow today. No. Take time, look at it, and ask yourself why you've done it right or you've done it wrong. Do not give a general comment and say, oh, it sucks, or it doesn't work. Even if it doesn't work, ask yourself why it doesn't work. I think that's a very important thing to think about. Many times we ask the how questions when it comes to interacting with the art community, but not often they ask the why questions. Like, why am I not working this out? So you can learn art, you can improve your art without even drawing, just by observations, just by looking at things in life. When you want to, for example, you're walking down the street, you see a puddle of water on the ground, you try to avoid it. It's something very common in your life. But have you ever asked, from the artist's perspective, how do you know that the area is red and you try to avoid it? In what way that you can tell this is wet, and how do you replicate that effect in art? I think that to me is very important. So always evaluate your work, questions life, and then try to understand how things work. Many of us, we feel that way, that works that we've done years or months ago, when you look at it now, it looks bad. I mean, to me, it's the same. It looks bad, but that means you have improved, but you have to understand how you improve. What have you changed that make you feel that the old work is not as good as what you're doing now? I think that's very important, constantly evaluating your work.
Yeah, and I think having that time span too is one of those important things, of being able to look back a year, look back 2 years, because if you look back at what you drew yesterday, you might not see that change, right? When you look in the mirror, if I look at a picture of myself from college or high school, I'm like, wow, I was young. And I'm sure if I saw me now, I'd be like, man, I'm old. But like each day, you don't notice that change. And so having that grander scheme to be able to find those things that you've improved on is really important. Like you might realize, hey, I improved my perspective, or my line control is a lot better. Or yes, I stopped, doing the little scratching strokes. I have more flowing strokes.
Yes, very true.
All right. So we're coming up on the time for the Q&A. So before we roll into that, just again, a reminder that we're doing the Artist Avatar Challenge with 3D Sense. You can find a link to that in our bio and enter to win some amazing prizes. We're giving away about $21,000 in prizes. So make sure to enter and submit, and you'll get some cool stuff there. And if you have
one more thing, if you win, that you get a chance to have a live video chat with us, including myself. So you can throw me all kinds of questions, and I can even look at your portfolio and give you some advice.
Yeah, there's a ton of learning in this activation, which I love. Like I really enjoy whenever we get to do something where we're really gonna like help out people, I feel, you know? I just think that's the way it goes. If people have questions for you now, they can leave the questions in the chat below. We've got producers pulling those. So let's roll into that right now. So from Godzilla 91, they want to know, would you ever do a full-length comic for Pepper?
I've talked about that before. I did plan for it before. I was trying to do it on Webtoon, actually. But I realized that once I start doing it, I have to reject all of my projects. And that is quite a big commitment for me to commit to. So I'm still putting it on the shelf for now. But I do have plan for that. I sit down with my friend who write out the story together. It's interesting, but I just need to gather the courage to abandon everything else just to dive into this. It's a big commitment for me.
Yeah, that's a really big commitment. And so something you're saying right now is, even with the writing of it, you said when you originally created Pepper, she didn't really have a backstory. So what's it been like
We tried to make sense with Pepper. So the idea of Pepper in different style is that she's some kind of an interdimensional super agent. So, and headphone that she wears plays the music of that particular dimension. So when you play the music of, for example, Hello Kitty, for example, then Pepper will teleport, also called teleport, into those Hello Kitty world, and she'll look like one of the Hello Kitty character.
So that is the general idea.
So she will appear in the comic in different style because of that, because she travels to different dimensions. That's the general idea.
Yeah, which kind of plays to her original use, which was finding your style and being able to explore slightly outside of your comfort zone. That's really neat. I like that she's going to continue to be able to change and adapt and look different ways. That's really a fun part of the character. So Zelyak says, do you think of art creation as an addiction?
No, it has to be some form of addiction. I won't use the word addiction, but obsession. You need to be obsessed with something so that you can be good with it. You need to be obsessed with game to be good with your game. You need to obsess with music, cooking in order to be good in those areas. So yeah, all of us who are very specialized in certain area, we do have certain level of obsession in order to make it better.
So from No Deuce Child, they say, were you an art, like, where do you teach art? They want to know whether you're teaching at high school, college, where you've taught in the past.
Oh, nobody. I mean, I did not go through any official art programs. Drawing is something that I learned by myself. That's why I make a lot of mistakes to make it work for today. The only art-related education that I had was a graphic design course, which is not really direct. I mean, not exactly related to art, but it allows me to look at things in a more aesthetic way and understand shapes and proportions, so that those knowledge eventually apply into my work. So many times you find my work with a very interesting graphic slant to it because of the training from graphic design.
Mm-hmm. And now you teach at 3D Sense. So
that's right. So now, yes. So now I'm teaching 3D Sense in Singapore. It's not an online school. So you, with COVID, we have some changes, but usually people fly down to Singapore to spend a year with me and my partners, and then we learn art together.
That's very cool. I love that you're giving back in that sense of that whole art community circle that you've had.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. So Annie Made It 21 wants to know, have you ever dealt with anxiety, and how do you get past that around your work?
No, you've talked about anxiety as in feeling moody, discouraged. Yeah, all the time, especially in my younger days when I try to figure things out. But it's never those things I would consider myself, oh, I'm in a depression of anything. I do like motivation sometimes, especially when I do not have a community for me to, because there was the internet. So there's just no community for me to be a part of and motivate each other. So yes. Which means that it's extremely important, at least for me, to encourage my student to be in a part of the community, whether within the class, within the cohort, or with a bigger community like DeviantArt and other online community. It's very important for you to be with like-minded people so that you will sharpen each other and hold each other accountable when someone tries to fall and fall off the grid or feeling down. You will be there to support each other, because if you have like-minded people like that, one day you may fall and someone else will be there to help you out.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what you were saying about surrounding yourself with those positive people and ignoring the ones who are just there to put you down or don't like your stuff, but really finding that good community to help you.
That's right.
Let's see. From Chi, he says, you give such effective advice to us and your students. Is there someone out there that gives you advice or reassures you?
I think it's about looking at life and understand how things work. And because we can go through life as it is without actually questioning or asking or finding out things, take everything by default. But I think as artists, we need to be more sensitive to that. I did not have a mentor. I always wanted to be a mentor. I always wanted to have a mentor to show me the way, you know, guide me in my art journey. I didn't have one. So instead, my goal become that I want to become a mentor for the next generations, so that when they need somebody, when I was in my younger days, when I faced those problems, I want to be the person who will be able to help. I think that's also partly the reason why I set up a course with 3Sense. Because of that.
Mm-hmm. What sort of things did you find you, like, in your past that you would have really wanted a mentor for, that you've been able to be there for someone now?
I mean, the challenges that they face now and me in the past, more or less the same in terms of the art-wise, but on the social media-wise, it may be different because the mechanic of the society has changed. But I try to be as relevant as possible. That's why I don't want to be a full-time teacher, because I still want to be the one in the battlefield. I want to be the one continue to work for the industry, so that whatever advice I give will be relevant and updated for them. So that's what I do.
I think that's important. Yeah, you don't want to have that disconnect from what's really happening.
Yeah, that's something that I also realized in other art colleges. I mean, the more traditional ones, there are many art professors there. They are already out of the industry. I mean, they become professors, they stop drawing. I find that really odd. I mean, as artists, whether you're as a teacher, as a professor, you should continue to draw. But once you become a professor, you stop drawing, you just go into art gallery and look at artworks. I think it become a very odd way because you won't be able to provide relevant information to students. I mean, I talk to my students all the time about, like, is there anybody who told you that a digital art is not real art? And many told me, yes. Because those so-called the old school art professor would say, that, oh, digital art is not real art. Anime is not real art. Don't waste time on that. I mean, that become a very bad work thinking, which I don't appreciate. I don't want to be that kind of so-called professor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so odd that so many people have faced that stigma. Because I believe most people in the chat would agree that they've at least heard that at one point of, like, you know, digital art, oh, you can undo it, or you just Photoshop it. And they, it's almost like there's a magic thing that you click once and your entire artwork is done.
Yeah.
If only.
If only.
So, Hot Days Long Nights wants to know, do you still get excited when you post a new piece of art, or is it something that you're just used to now?
I do, because I'm still excited to see how I grow in my art style or quality. So I still post with the kind of excitement that, oh, I hope people like it. But it's not something that, oh, I need someone to endorse it. I need my friend to endorse it so that I will like it. That's not the perspective. It's just that I love my drawing. I look at it. I'm so proud of it. I want to share it. And hopefully you will find it appealing to you as well. I think that's my angle.
Yeah, I think that's a really healthy angle because, like you said, social media is so much about the likes or the followers and all these things where this effort has been put there, this emphasis has been put there, and you can't control any of that. And none of that is really that important to what you do and how you feel about your art.
It's true. I mean, some of the most advanced artists working in the industry, some of them don't even have social media. Even if they do, they may have 10K, 20K followers. It doesn't matter to them because I can tell you honestly, as artists, if you can find 100 followers who will buy everything that you draw for the rest of your life, you are okay. You're done already. You don't need a million followers for that. Those just for your ego, to stroke your egos. But in actual fact, if you have built the quality of the followers more than the quantity of the followers, if they are more committed to you, if they're going to support you as you grow, even if it's a handful of them, it's enough for you, to be honest.
Yeah. So let's see. So King Sonali wants to know, when studying, do you get frustrated when you find like a weak area or something that you need improvement on?
Yes, definitely.
Like, what would you do? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so there's different spectrum in art, as I say before, that different area of foundation we need to take care of. And it's hard to improve everything at the same time. You always need to pick a battle. Just like in playing RPG games, every time you level up, you have one credit or few credit for you to deposit into different skill set. You have to pick and choose which skill set is more relevant for you now at this point and to invest your time in it. So same thing for art. Certain seasons, you want to focus on character. And certain seasons, you focus on background or storytelling. So you try to pick the battle at different point of your life and try not to solve your problem, every problem at the same time. So that's why it's important to evaluate your work and see which area you're weak at and do focus study, not general study, but focus on those areas that you think you're weak at. I always advise my students that let's say, for example, drawing faces, there's some angle of the faces they can't draw well. I say, if you know you can't draw well in those faces, spend your time drawing that. Always try to face your devil, so to speak. Try to solve the problem as soon as possible. But you cannot solve every problem, so pick your battle in every piece. Oh, for example, this piece, I just want to focus on the rendering of the hair. So be it. The next one, you'll focus on expression. So be it. Then do not draw a full battle scene with the expression. Just draw a portrait. Just focus on expression. To me, that is more effective.
That makes a ton of sense. You got to stop putting the hands behind everything in your pictures. think mm-hmm. I had, went through an entire phase where everyone either had their arms crossed or were holding a mug. So this one's kind of a cool one, a little bit more about the business side of art from Beauty Travel mm-hmm. Wellness Art. They say, how do you balance your creativity and time as an artist with your business? What areas were you able to let go of and bring on others to help you with your growth?
I think it's more than just the business wise. I mean, I look at my life, I have a school to run. I have a commercial project to work on, and I have family to take care. Art committee, I want to help out. So there are a lot of things on my plate. So it's a constant struggle. It's a juggling act basically of different things. So as I say, artists can be in different seasons. In certain seasons, you want to focus on certain things. So be it. Again, if you are not fearful about losing your audience or changing the kind of audience that you have, then you have all the freedom to do whatever you want. So that's the only thing I would advise, is that look at what's your priority now, what's important to you now, and just focus on that. I understand the idea of art business. It's not just about making good art, it's about how to sell it. Mm-hmm. So both are important. You can make good product, but if nobody knows this product exists, you can't sell it anyway. So managing your social media, although I don't like it, it's not something that I enjoy, social media, but I know that it's an important tool as a business, as an artist, especially when you are independent. You really need to use that to bring in some of the finances and your audience. But you always prioritize your product as a priority. And then once you have good product to sell, then you learn how to sell the product.
Mm-hmm. I think we've got time for one more. So from Coffeeholic Art and Stuff, they say, how do you make the most out of your drawing practice? What's the most efficient way to do it?
What's the most effective way?
When you're practicing artwork or practicing drawing, what's the way to like maximize your returns from it, or to make what you learn from that practice the best that you can get?
Yeah. So again, it's come down to the idea of focus study. Don't try to solve all the problem, and look at what's lacking now. Continue to evaluate your work on a regular basis. Look at which area, because in art we have knowledge, but you have also pocket of empty space between your knowledge. The idea is to integrate them to make everything work. For example, in the past, when I draw anime character compared to draw a realistic face, I have a totally different mindset because they don't connect with each other. So the idea is to find holes in your knowledge to fill it up so that everything is integrated into one holistic knowledge. That means with that, then you can hop around into different spectrum of art and you still feel comfortable with it because everything is just come together in one solid piece.
Awesome. Well, I think that's it. We're coming up on our hour, and before Instagram cuts us off, I like to be able to sign off. So thank you so much for joining us today. And everyone watching, make sure to check out the 3D Sense Challenge for the Artist Avatar Challenge on DeviantArt. The link again is in our bio, and make sure to enter so that you can potentially win some of the $21,000 worth of prizes, including some amazing stuff from Wacom, the portfolio review and chat, all of those incredible things. Make sure to check that out. So again, Artrim, thank you so much for joining us. You want to tell us where people can find you across the internet?
Yeah, I am Artrim everywhere. You can find me everywhere under the handle Artrim. Yeah. So yes,
you guys made it easy.
Thank you for joining us. And looking forward to hang out with all of you again.
Yeah, I can't wait till we can all be in person again.
Yeah, totally. It's been driving me crazy with the lack of travel.
it's something else for sure. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, everyone. Have a great evening.
Thank you, and bye-bye, everybody.
I think that's going to do it for me. So thank you again for joining us. My name is Matt Buchholz. You can find me on DeviantArt at ggmattb. And it's been great talking with you. All right. Have a great evening.